Well, as you see, the message title this morning, I have titled it, Christ in Me. And as I was thinking of the season of the year that we're in, of Jesus Christ coming to this earth as a baby, and we think that's all cutesy and it's neat and it's special, and it is. But I had to wonder, you know, as I was listening to the song, you'd think if the shepherds would have known this song, they would have probably been going back singing, I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed by this Christ child. And so this morning we want to look at Christ in me. But first of all, I want to establish a little bit of Christ and and what got me to think is here several weeks ago, I heard on the radio someone mentioned of all the in hymns in Scripture. And that's kind of what got my mind to thinking of what the Bible says about in Him and what all the Scriptures refer to. And I've got several, there's many others. It depends what translation you use. You could come up with others. Scriptures that would either have those words or would have that same connotation or that same meaning. But the first one is in John 3:16. It says, very familiar, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, thanks Brad, should not perish but have everlasting life. So again, that's a verse that we all know. We've all grown up learning that verse for the most part. But it's in him that we can have eternal life. It's in him that we don't have to perish. Acts 17:28 says, for in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:13 says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Colossians 2:10 says, and you were complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. 1 John 4:13 says, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. He has given us that divine nature for those as we have given ourselves completely over to him and confessed him as our Lord and as our Master. 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that he hears us. So this morning I want to look at three different areas, and the first one is simply, I've asked it in a question, and that is, when did he become him? Okay? When did he become him? Meaning, when did Jesus become the in him that I was talking about here? When did Jesus become the Christ? And before we go too far, that I might lose your attention, I don't know how else to say it, but that he didn't become the in him, okay? But I wanted to ask the question in order for us to be thinking. And we'll get into that in, I want to read out of John chapter 1. But I wanted that question in order so that we sort of process, because really as we go through the first chapter in John, those several verses that I want to go into, there's really no words for us to really adequately describe what I want to say. And if I really could be smart enough to have the words to describe what I want to say, you probably wouldn't understand it. So we have to sort of go with the knowledge that we have in trying to explain as best we can who this Christ is. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 19. I just want to read that before we go into the book of John. And in there it says, "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell." So this means that God the Father was very pleased, there could be other words you could use, but that all the fullness of who God the Father is was also in God the Son. Do I understand all of that and how that can work? I don't. But that's how it was and that's how it is. And it says, "And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight." And verse 23 says, "If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which Paul became a minister." So what he's saying here, just in a nutshell, I'm not going to get into this passage of scripture and talk about it much, but it says Christ included us as we believed and as we accepted him, as God accepted us through Christ, as we accept Christ as the Messiah, as the Christ, as our Lord and as our Savior. And in that we can actually be blameless and we can be above reproach in his sight. Verse 23 says, "If indeed we continue." So there is something on our part that we need to do, and that is we must continue to turn and keep turning towards God and keep walking in that direction. It says, "Continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and don't move away from the hope of the gospel which we have heard." This hope, this gospel, this letter of love that we have from God's word is unchanging. It will not change. The message is the same today as it was 2,000 years ago. Well, let's look in John chapter 1. When we think of when did he become him? When did Jesus become the him? We'll read this and I want to go back and make some comments. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only who is at the Father's side has made him known. I'm going to go back and as we pull some of these different thoughts out of this chapter, I'm going to be coming using, I bought a new Bible and I bought the New King James Version, so it's going to be a little bit different than what was up there, but that's why I wanted to read that out of the NIV. But I will be talking and preaching out of the King James, New King James here as we're looking at this passage this morning. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, I guess here again, this word, in the beginning, is anyone in here that can explain to me in five words, when was the beginning? We don't have any words for it. Because this beginning was before the beginning. It says, in beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, first of all, this word is actually the word logos, as I understand it. And one commentator said that he would really wish that the word would not be in the word. Or that I hope that's not, but that word that we're using in this context, that he wishes they would just use logos, because it would describe much better who Jesus is, who this Christ is. But it's talking about who Jesus Christ is. It's referring to him as the Word. So it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So way back then, whenever that was, Jesus Christ was. It doesn't say that in the beginning the Word was created, or that in the beginning that Jesus Christ was created. It says in the beginning he was. And it says he was with God, and it says he was God. Now, we talk about the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we say these three are one, and they are. And we have to remember that, as hard as that is for us to wrap our minds around that, we can't. But we have to understand that we do not separate who God the Father, who God the Son, and who God the Holy Spirit is. We can't. They're three, but yet they're one. And so this God the Son is one with the Father, because God is omnipotent. And the best way that I can understand that word is that he is the supreme being. And when you have a supreme being, how many more can you have? Let's say, I'm not a supreme being, but let's say that you would have something that is supreme. How many more supremes can you have and line up alongside something that is already supreme? You can't. If something is supreme, it is supreme. It is above, over everything. And to have something else that is supreme, there's no such thing. So God is supreme. God is omnipotent. And so that means God is omnipotent, but then you have the Son, who came to this earth to die. But yet, he was not a separate entity, but he was one with God, but yet, he was one of three. If you understand that and can really explain that better, talk to me after the service. But that is the mighty God we serve, and I don't think we'll ever understand it completely, or even begin to understand it completely. But that is the God that we serve. Well, verse 2, it says, he was in the beginning with God. Again, he's just reiterating what he said in verse 1, that Jesus the Son was, the Word was with God back at that, whatever you want to call it, the beginning. It says, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. So, we have some religions, and the Jehovah's Witness would be one that would, in the King James, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, then the Word was God. The Jehovah's Witnesses, when they come to your door, they will talk about that verse if they know that you're a Christian. And if you're not careful, they'll catch you, because all they're doing is they will change one word in that first verse. They will say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. They believe that Jesus Christ was. They don't question that. But where their fallacy is that Jesus Christ was not one with God the Father. So they change it from the Word was God to the Word was a God. They add that letter, one letter, the first letter of the alphabet, they stick in there, and it totally changes everything about that scripture. So we have to be careful that we recognize that Jesus is one with God. He is God. He is God the Son. And therefore, he was not a created being, as some would want to say. Jesus was not a created being. He always was, because he is God. Because it says here, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. So Jesus Christ was there when all things were made. So before anything was made, Jesus Christ was there with God and one with him. And he was there when everything was created. So he was before there was anything. Do I understand that? No. But that's the best I can do for you. Is that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they were. They just were. Verse 4 says, in him was life. And again, as we go through this, if you can think in your own, for those of you as dads, and you think of those, and especially those of you as dads, as when you have sons that are old enough to be out on their own, there is something about your own son that is different from anyone else's son that is not your son. And so if we can think about this as God the Father thinking of God the Son in our own human terms, there was a relationship there that was a perfect relationship with each other as a father and a son, but yet as them being one. It says, in him, in this Word, in this Christ, was life. And in that life of this Christ was the light of men. Brothers and sisters, you and I do not have any light. We are merely reflections of the light that is shining through us from Jesus Christ. As we allow him to radiate, as we allow him to penetrate our lives, then his light is going to shine in us brighter and brighter. Verse 5 says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. How much darkness could you have in your hand to overcome a 100-watt light bulb? You can't. When you have true light, darkness is not there. When you have a little bit of light, even the darkness has to flee. And it says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. Or I think the NIV says the darkness has not understood it. The darkness cannot fight against the true light. And that's what's so encouraging as we live out our lives in this world today. That as we see all the world around us getting evil and more wicked and more ungodly, and this darkness coming around us, that little light that we shine as God's people, as we are filled with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, that light will dispel that darkness. Going on down, and here it's talking about John the Baptist in verse 6, says there's a man sent from God, and John was very clear to say that he was not that light. He was only there to talk about and to bear witness of who and what this light really is. And that was the light of Jesus Christ. Oh, let me, they're going on down through here, verse 9 and 10. Talks about how Christ was in the world and the world didn't receive him. Verse 12, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believed on his name. Verse 14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So, again, this word, which is Christ. He's talking about how he came as a baby and took on everything just like a baby would look. The human form. It says the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So that word, which was Jesus Christ, came to this earth as a baby. But he was still God. Now, as he took on this flesh of human form, he became man. So now he was, again, I don't understand it, but he became 100% man. He became 100% God. He became 100% man. And he was still maintaining being 100% God as he lived and as he breathed, as he worked on this earth. Goes on to say, verse 14, he dwelt amongst us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. This means that this baby that was born, as he lived out his life, he was full of grace, but not only grace, but he was full of truth. He was 100% truth. And I don't even know that that's fair to say that he was 100% truth, because it almost seems like it takes away from who Jesus Christ was. He was truth. Period. There's no ifs, ands, or fudging about it. He was truth. How many times have you done it when you're talking to somebody, and you might be talking for 5 or 10 minutes, and then you say, now let me tell you the truth here. Does that mean prior to that, you weren't speaking the truth? It's a play on words, but we do that, don't we? But Jesus Christ came, and he is and was truth. He is who he said he was. Then in verse 15, again, John, as he spoke here and as he preached, I imagine the people probably, some people would have thought he was crazy because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense what he was saying. If we think of it in human terms and try to comprehend it, we cannot comprehend it. John bore witness of him and cried out saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me.'" And NIV says, "He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me." How can somebody be after you and have surpassed you when they came after you, but they did that because they were before you? That's our God. That's our Jesus. Because he always was. And verse 16 is for us as his people. "And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace." Verse 17, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." You know, sometimes, as I look back on my life, as I dealt with my children growing up, there's many times, maybe too many times, that I've granted them grace when I should have granted more truth to them. It would have been more painful for them at the moment. But here we see grace and truth. And we can count on it that Jesus Christ has the right mixture of grace and truth. It's a perfect combination. Because but for the grace of God, there's not a one of us, not a one of us that could have any hope of that eternal salvation that we can have as we live out and we believe in who he is. Verse 27 there in John chapter 1, and we don't have it up on the board. But again, John is referring back to what he got done saying and just reiterating. He says, "It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." So the question again, when did he become him? And the answer to that is, he that became him always was. There was never a time when he became him. He always was, because he was God, and with God there is no beginning. With God there is no end. It is eternity before and eternity past and eternity future. So if Christ is God, if Christ, Jesus Christ, is God, then what is my responsibility? What is your responsibility as a believer? And the one thing that I want to be sure to say here this morning too is that Christ is not Jesus' last name. We have to recognize that there's others out there who believe in Jesus. But for them to believe in Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus would be a different story. So be careful when you're out and about and as you're talking about who Jesus Christ is. Because people tell you, "Oh, I believe in Jesus." But that's not enough, because there's many Jesus out there. But there's only one Jesus Christ. Jesus the Christ. So Christ is not the last name of Jesus, but Christ simply describes who the Jesus that is the real and the one and only is. I've got the results or the evidences of us not being in Him, and also have the results and rewards of us being in Him. But I think I'm going to wait for that. I think we'll do that another time, because I won't have enough time to go through it like I'd like to. So this morning, as we leave from this place, I want you to think about of being in Him. I want you to think about when this in Him, that I could have that privilege of being in Him. When did that entity start? When was He? He was back before. It says, in the beginning, before anything was made, the Word, Logos, Christ, was with God. He was not a created being. Don't let anyone tell you that. And again, when you get some of these other cults and religions coming to, and knocking on your door, they won't tell you that right up front. But if you let them in the house and you start talking, they will come up with things of this Jesus Christ that you talk about, of being a created being. Don't go there. Don't allow it, because it is not who He is. Because if we accept that, then we might as well throw away our whole scriptures, because it totally nullifies who God is if we don't believe in His Son, if we don't accept His Son for who He said He is. There is, in closing, 1 Corinthians 15:57. I can find it here. It says something like, therefore, be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Is that not a good feeling to know that as we are in Him, it doesn't even matter how I feel. It doesn't even matter what kind of a day I'm going to have today, or what kind of day I'm going to have tomorrow, or how good my day is going to be, or how bad my day is going to be tomorrow. But that as we are convinced of who we are in Christ, and then that we stand, no matter what our feelings are, to let nothing move us, to recognize that this God, this Jesus Christ, this Savior, whom we have adopted into our lives, we've accepted and we've made Him our Messiah, is the same one that was born as a baby 2,000 years ago. And then because of that, always giving ourselves fully to what He's asking of us, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what might come out of what we do, but that we give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because we know that our labor is not in vain. And in Hebrews chapter 10, let's see here. Verses 19 through 25 says, therefore, brothers, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. And here's what I want to catch. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Listen to that. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. It's talking about us being blameless as His people. Not perfect, but blameless. And verse 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Again, when we face these times, when we face these people that come with all these fine-sounding arguments, they come knocking on our front door. Be careful of the one word that they might add in and make Scripture say something totally different. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So stir each other up. Ask questions to each other that make you think. Then he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as it is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see that day approaching. And so when this was written, he was saying, after this was written, tomorrow, meet together more. Next year, meet together more, because that day is closer than what it was. And so today, it's a lot closer. That day of Christ coming back for us is a lot closer. But we are to get together and then to exhort, to encourage, to even maybe to rebuke in love. And to be there for each other, to stand together in the gap for each other. And as we see the new year approaching, we all make New Year's resolutions, don't we? But here's something that each one of us can grow in. And that is that we work on it. Not that we're working on our salvation. We're secure in that, right? But that we work on growing each other in grace and in truth and in love. Urging each other on. Says, so much the more as you see that day approaching. Well, God bless you all real good as you look forward and anticipate serving God in 2015. And looking back and seeing maybe what you did wrong in 2014, say, well, I'm not going to make that mistake again, but improve with God's help. Shall we stand for closing prayer? Our Father in heaven, this morning, we do thank you for giving us your Son. We do thank you for allowing him, for giving him up in the heavens to come down to this earth some 2,000 years ago. You wouldn't have had to, but you wanted us for your own. You wanted to redeem us. You wanted us to have the hope of eternal life. And you also wanted that fellowship with us as your created beings. God, we thank you that as you are, you don't need us, but you have chosen us. God, would you help us that we could be that person, those persons that would be willing to step out of the boat, as we read in our Sunday school lesson this morning, and to follow you no matter what. And to know that you are leading us, that you are in total control of our lives, and to trust you completely as we go forward. I pray your blessing upon each one as we leave from here. Thank you, God, for each one that's here, for each one of the visitors we have this morning. Would you bless them real good too, God? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Y'all are dismissed.